They say that history is written by those who are victorious, and I can't help but think, who's going to write the story of the 2014 Scottish independence referendum? There's a
river. The referendum may have died, but the movement lives on. On Wings, Saturday at 2:30 p.m.
Good evening and welcome to Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I am Khadija Hardaway.
All right. And our guest tonight is Pastor Rodney Williams of Swope Parkway United Christian Church. And he is also the co-chair of More Squared, which stands for Metro Organization on Racial and Economic Equity. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So tonight, the topic is the Emmanuel 9. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened in South Carolina. And before we do that, if you want to say a little bit about your church, and maybe we could even talk a little bit about the history of the AME church, which this was, the Emmanuel AME church in Charleston. But give a little, you know, whatever you want to say about your church here in town.
I pastor the Swope Parkway United Christian Church, which is located at 6140 Swope Parkway here in Kansas City. We are a church that is embracing social justice throughout the metro because we believe that we have to fight for justice.
All right, very good. And I'm very familiar with More Squared. I used to serve on the board, and it's a great organization. Been going since about 2003, I believe, is when we actually initiated that. So the incident in Charleston, let's go right to that. Khadija, you might want to open up with some thoughts.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
Just to kind of warm the pilot of what we're talking about. Social justice, what does that mean to you?
To me, social justice is a concept that talks about how everyone is to be treated justly, especially here in the United States of America. And when that is not taking place, I believe that the church, particularly the African-American church, is called to speak out against that.
Are we facing huge change in social justice right now?
Right now, in the area of social justice, America is in trouble.
Okay.
So there are a lot of challenges that we are facing today.
Okay. Would the nine that were killed in Charleston represent the shifting change in social equality in America?
I don't want to say the shifting change, because if we're saying the shifting change, there is an insinuation that there may have been something equal at that at another time, which never has been equal. But what
good
I would
point.
Say that it is point-blank racism.
Point-blank racism. Well, I would consider it a shift.
Okay.
Not a shift necessarily in the act of racism, but a shift in the way things have been going since the 60s and how they have progressed since then. There's always going to be some kind of shift in order for, you know, something to erupt. So I would consider it a shift.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, one of the things Khadija and I talk about quite a bit, and the reason for this show really is to talk about the race issue. Right, which some people would contend, oh, come on, there is no racial discrimination. That's a thing of the past. Racism, come on, Keith, what are you talking about? So that's one of the reasons we have the show. And this incident seems to point to, you know, that, yes, there is something that we need to address still as citizens of the United States of America.
It absolutely is. But more of... There's churches burning everywhere. I mean, I think it has started something that may get out of control, you know, if the proper people, and that means our governments and our various, you know,
community leaders
don't stand up and start taking more action. So my question to you is more of like, what are we doing here in Kansas City that is going to help prevent the next church from burning, or help them in the event that they are attacked or something goes down like that? Because there's black churches everywhere, and there's little satellites of racism in small towns happening everywhere, and this thing could erupt like crazy. I mean, it happened before. It can happen again.
So what are we doing in Kansas City? Just about a week ago at the church in which I pastor, in connection with the NAACP, we had a service that we called a prayer memorial service, which was to remember the 9 individuals that were slain in Charleston, South Carolina, in the Mother Emanuel Church. One of the things that we talked about was that we just can't allow this to fade out, to fade away. This has to be a call of action. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to understand that the problem is not going to get solved by any one organization or one person. It's going to take a community that crosses racial and ethnic lines to come together, saying that we are standing for justice and for righteousness, and we're not going to allow this to continue to happen. But until the community and the city comes together, I'm afraid there won't be too many changes.
Well put. Before we go over any further, I would like Khadija to give the phone number so we want to hear from you tonight. And Khadija has the phone number. Please call us. Give us your thoughts right now here at KKFI. Khadija, what is the number?
It is 816-931-5534.
All right, 816-931-5534. Thank you. And we would love to hear from you. Whatever your comment is, all you got to do is, you know, tell us your name and what part of the city that you're calling from, and we would love to hear from you right now. And as we said before, you know, don't be bashful. If you're worried about your identity or whatever, make up a name. But we just need something, you know, so we can address you here on the show. Call in right now. And again, our guest tonight is Pastor Rodney Williams of the Swope Parkway United Christian Church, which I have a pretty long history with. I think I first attended that church in probably around before the year 2000, because our church did a little, you know, relationship, and at that time the pastor was K. David Cole, I believe, and
yes.
Then Margaret Roberts was after him,
yes.
And she was a co-chair of Moore Squared, was she not?
I know she played an important role. I think she was a co-chair at
she
one
was
point.
For sure
not
on
sure.
The executive committee.
Absolutely, she
yeah.
was on the exec. I do know that.
Yeah. So, all right, please continue. I'm sorry.
Well, when you speak of call for action, I mean, you know, what does that mean?
Oh, I think that means a lot to a lot of people. But from our perspective, the first thing that needs to happen is we need to have honest talks about racism. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge the big white elephant that's in the room, and we try to mm-hmm. talk around it. But we have to first have honest dialogue about racism. We need to call it for what it is. And we need to make sure that it is not pushed to the back, but is at the forefront of the conversations. When we say call to action, I think as a community, we need to come together and we need to put pressure on our political leaders to make sure that they're doing all the things that they can do. I think that pastors have to take the helm, especially in the African-American church, because it's just my belief that that's part of our divine assignment, is to mm-hmm. call to action and to speak truth to power.
All right. Looks like we've got a caller on the line right now. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name and what part of the city are you from?
Kay, I'm from Independence.
Hi, Kay. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts?
Well, I grew up in a family that was very, very prejudiced, and I was isolated from even seeing a black person until I was in high school, well, grade school, actually, because we made bibs and took them over to a daycare center. But my family itself was very prejudiced, and so it took me some time, and seeing that black people really did have emotions. When Martin Luther King died, it's like, oh, wow, they're like us. Hey, I mean, it's like that kind of moment that converted me. And at this point in time, I am so tired of hearing about black and white and red and green and yellow and brown and divisions. It's like, can't we get to the point where we just talk about ourselves as human beings? Because there are bigger issues than us being whatever color we are that need to be addressed. And we as a people need to work together as humans under one moniker. We're humans. And address the issues at hand. I really don't feel that I have ever met a really black person, like black is the absorption of all light, or a really white person either. In fact, I saw what they call black babies that were albino, that were whiter than any pink person I've ever seen. And it's like, I'm not white, you know, I'm pink. We're pink, we're Caucasians. And I'm, you know, if we're going to talk about lumping everything into a category, black or white, we'll never. And then, you know, like, one's better than the other. And then right. when the other group takes over, then they have to do to them what was done to them because they suffered. It's right. like, this has got to stop somewhere.
Well, this is a really good, interesting point that you bring up. So it's not just a it's a spectrum. It's not all black, all white. And I like what you said, you know, work together. So let me ask you just briefly, if you could, what kind of things should we be working on together? I'm talking about people of all races, all ethnicity,
et cetera. That we're all human beings for one thing. We all walk in our individual shoes. I don't know what you've done in your life or your path, and I'm not going to put you in a box and say you're, you know, liberal, conservative, whatever. You know, it's like you have experiences and you have thoughts in your head that are uniquely yours, and I can't possibly share mine with everybody else. You know, it's like we all came from separate paths.
Yeah, this is good.
And walked in our own individual
right.
shoes.
In a way,
like
what I hear. Yes.
My heart goes out to the people I just heard about with on the minimum wage thing, and I know how difficult that is. And yet, you know, it's like we have to own our own thoughts and allow other people to express their thoughts.
And
accept that as who they are.
Well, Kay, we really appreciate you calling in, and you're right.
You're welcome.
We do need Bye. To work together, and I appreciate you calling, Kay. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Pastor, what are your thoughts on you know, what she said, or Khadija, either one?
Well, I think what she said rings true about, you know, growing up in a home that's prejudiced. I have ran into a lot of white people who say that they never knew that black people were nice.
Well, and she said, you know,
I mean,
that black people
really,
have feelings.
I mean, I've had people cry in front of me and you know, express to me how they feel in the present based upon what they felt in the past. And they felt like they've been duped by their parents or whoever raised them, because that's not really the reality of what, you know, is happening in the real world. People are embracing each other and they're loving one another, and there are intelligent people of all color everywhere, mm-hmm. and there are ignorant people of all color everywhere. So, you know, you have to embrace that. But for me, I want to get back into the call for action. I mean, we got to number one before the caller called in, and we do want people to call in and join the conversation, but let's get to your number.
What's the number again? 816-931-5534. All right, please.
The lady who just called in brought up a good point, and it references the call to action. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I believe that has to happen is people have to, we have done race conversations throughout the city, and those are good because they're on a large scale. But people have to become more intentional about getting to know people one-on-one. She stated what the problem was, and when she was coming up, she never met any black people. And so when we can meet individuals and get to know them personally one-on-one, my cause becomes your cause. Your cause becomes my cause, and we can relate a lot better. Mm-hmm. And so part of our problems, I think, is that we don't know each other. And if we could be more intentional of learning about each other and sitting and talking to one another, I think that goes a long ways.
But that means you have to be open, right, and receptive to that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've heard of the terms being closed-minded, and I can say I have experienced in some ways being closed-minded until somebody turned a light bulb on in me and said, you know.
Yeah, but in order for us to move, we're going to have to be open. We're going to have to be open-minded. We're going to have to have the ability to sit and listen and talk and hear what other people are saying. So I do agree with you. We have to be open-minded. If we are not open-minded, things will remain the same, in my opinion.
So what happens after the conversation? Because this show started from a conversation. It literally started from a conversation of me and Keith trying to get to know each other. And you know, I believe in action. I think this show is a small scale of action, but what can we do outside of just conversating?
I think the conversations drive the actions. So for me to say what needs to happen, I think that is left up to the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. When the people are conversating, I think you in Moore Square, we do something called issue cutting. And so what we would do is we would have congregations coming together, and they would discuss the issues that are on their hearts. And the issues that get the priority are the issues that Moore Square will go after and try to cut. Mm-hmm. And so what I think needs to happen is when people come together collectively on a consistent basis, it does a couple of things. It builds up trust. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything without trust. Mm-hmm. You can't trust people that you don't know. So relationships are built. Once these relationships are built, issues are put forth, then together the people decide what are the issues. I think leadership top down is not going to work in America today. Mm-hmm. Leadership needs to come from the bottom up.
Grassroots.
Very good.
We do have a caller. Caller, state your name and what area of the city you're calling from.
All right, my name is Jeff, and I'm on the east side of Kansas City.
All right, you're on the air, Jeff.
Okay, and you know, we've had a lot of these multiracial discussions where we have folks from different races talking to each other. And one of the things I think that happens so often is when someone tries to explain that this particular action or this particular policy is racially based or is racist, people take that personally. And they think they're being called racist. And which at that point really stops the actual conversation, the actual exchange of ideas in most cases. And one of the things that I've seen someone talk about here recently, or heard someone talk about recently, that it makes some sense to me is that, you know, white people need to get together, and they need to talk about these issues among themselves, because it's something we don't talk about unless we are in one of those situations where there are people of color there across the table from us. And we need to talk about this among each other so that we can understand that there are things that we're culpable for. And it's a little bit easier for us to you know, in that way, not feel like we're being called racist, and maybe at that point listen a little bit more and actually say, okay, I kind of understand now.
That's a great point, Jeff. Very good point. Yeah, thanks for calling in tonight.
Okey-doke.
Bye. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love his point. And, you know, speaking as the white guy at the table here, I would tell you this, is that we, of course, do need to have the courage to talk to folks of color as well. But he's raising a really good point. There's a lot of fear that goes into, you know, talking to a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
So since people may shrink back from that, conversations among white folks about race, which they generally do not have, is a good starting point.
And I definitely agree with that. And I think one of the things that whites need to be intentional about is talking about white privilege and how white privilege plays a major role in the, you know, in the everyday life of white people in America.
Amen to that. You know, just to dovetail on what Pastor Rodney is saying here, is for some white listeners out there, there are a number of white privileges that we take for granted. For example, being able to drive pretty much anywhere in the town without fear of harassment from, you know, law enforcement. That's just one thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Absolutely true.
I mean, there's a host of things. I mean, but that, to me, you know, white privilege is something that this country is going to always have. I am more worried about the systematic systems that we can't intertwine in and really benefit from. There's nothing that we as African or brown people benefit from through systems, whether it's the financial system, whether it's the educational system, whether it's the prison system, welfare system. I mean, all these systems, none of them really are reflecting healthy well-beings for brown people or black people. Or, you know.
I hear you. Why don't you give that number one more time, if you would?
So if you want to call in and you want to talk to me, or you want to talk to the white guy or the pastor, give us a call at 816-931-5534.
Yeah, thank you, Khadija. I want to ask all of us to think about this, because I know this has been a sentiment I've heard among white folks before and is probably going on right now, which is, you know, this guy in South Carolina, well, that's just an isolated incident. That's just one crazy guy. And, you know, I really feel sorry for those nine people, but, you know, this is not a systemic problem. We don't need to worry about this. It's just a crazy guy. What do you guys think about it? You think that could be a perspective that is had by a few people in America right now?
I'm going to let the pastor speak upon that, because I think he can give us enlightenment.
Yes, I do think that people have made that assessment, although I think it's the wrong assessment to make. If you look at the history of America, there have been violent acts taking place in African-American churches since we've been upon these rustic shores. Three triplets, I call the Ku Klux Klan, they have a history of burning crosses on churches, throwing cocktails into churches, and pulling people out and lynching them on crosses. 1963, you had the four African-American girls that were killed in the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. There have been so many violent acts that have taken place. And so to look at this as a mental illness, to say that this person was sick, well, I would say he is sick. He is possessed by the sixth sin of racism. And I think that's a sickness.
You know, I want to bring out a point that I think is significant, is that the social media plays a significant part in people's awareness. And being an activist, you know, you see firsthand things that happen in the small towns and have never been publicized. But it's amazing how so many people believe that this is a new fight. Or like I said, that shift, you know, mm-hmm. going back to what you were saying, it's not a shift. It's something that has been going on continuously. And I get that point, because social media makes it appear as if racism has appeared again, when it really never disappeared. I mean, as a 41-year-old woman, I have experienced racism at every growing cornerstone of my life. I mean, I have, and I can honestly say I've considered being black and all of that, you know. And we go back to that conversation where you say, you know, we don't think about being white when we wake up, but we do think about being black every day we wake up. And that's a constant thing. It's not a reminder, but it is there.
Yeah. And it's if you want to say it for a white person, it all feels normal to us, right? It's like, you know, well, it's another day. There is no threat that I'm going to go out and be discriminated against because I'm white. Not on an ordinary day for me.
I mean, it's the whole idea of the cliche of you have the freedom to speak. However, you don't have the freedom to verbally do it on social media. You could lose your job. You could lose endorsements. You could lose a ton of things. So you really don't have freedom to speak. I mean, there is a cap on everything you do, you know, as we don't make ourselves aware of how social media has blinded the consistency of racism. It's blinding it. And, you know, people need to be, I tell people all the time, create your own movie, your own media. Let's not go toward every media blast that comes out. You know, don't channel your energy to that. Go channel your energy into something that you were into before that was really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Khadija, you spoke about the prison system.
Yes.
Prior to coming to Kansas City, I was a clinical chaplain in a maximum security prison in North Carolina for 10 to 11 years. And one of the things that I know took place was the disparity and the sentencing between African-Americans, males, and white males. And it was sickening. And so rather than being an institution that should help to rehabilitate, as Michelle Alexander talks about, it has become the new slave plantation. So I do agree with you that there's so many systems that are in place that don't do us good.
Yep. Thank you, Pastor. We've got another caller, so I'd like to have the caller say your first name and the area of town that you're in, and you are on the air, caller.
Okay, my name is Anthony, and I'm calling from Kansas City, Kansas.
Thanks, Anthony. And glad you called in.
Okay, thanks for having me. I'd like to say, mention something that was already mentioned, and it's about the white race. They have this power, this control over this country like they've had from day one, and it's getting to the point to where they are losing control, the white privilege. And I think that's what happens. What's happening now is they see that they're losing their grip, and the young man that killed the 9 people down there and the police officers that kill people with a stick in their hand and they're 50 feet away from them, or somebody running away from them and they shoot them in the back. It's a fear that they have because of what has happened to us as black people and other races too of color, that they are afraid of losing the control of being in control. So they program these kids like the guy that shot the 9 people in the church, which was a terrible thing. But the guy that shot the people in the theater, he was just straight crazy. So there was no racial deal here, but with this guy here, he was programmed to do that. And it's through these militias and things like that that's causing these people to do it. And it's an inner circle that everybody knows is out there, but it's a secret, but it's not a secret. And they're out there programming people every day.
I think you're right. Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Okay. All right, you're welcome.
Yeah, Anthony, thank you very much. You know, thanks, Anthony. He brings up a very good point, which is there is a tide here, you know, and in a way, you might even compare this to, and this is going to be a strong comparison, but it would be like Muslim terrorists are being brought up from, you know, 12, 13 years old. Well, there are people like this 21-year-old who believe that, you know, we are losing here in America because the white people are no longer, you know, in control. He even said...
That's not a mistake. Not to talk over you, but that's not a mistake. I mean, there are people in this country who are training.
Absolutely.
Training for some type of civil war. That's factual. That's not a joke, you know.
I can't remember where I read it, that there were certain groups of people that were going into the military specifically to get military training so that when they leave the military, they could go back into their communities and train people in warfare.
Wow. But, you know, really it is, he says, and this is on his manifesto, he says, you know, he was awakened by the Trayvon Martin thing. Now I'm talking about this 21-year-old, and I'm not even going to say his name. And he says that he doesn't, he has hatred for the American flag because modern American patriotism is an absolute joke. So he thinks it's a patriotic thing to be, you know, a white nation, whereas most of us would think of patriotism as a true melting pot where everyone has value and everyone deserves respect. So I just want to put that out. Less than a minute. I just want to say we got to wrap it up here pretty quick.
I just want to say, crazy on any level is crazy.
Yeah.
But I want to thank the pastor, Pastor Williams, for being here. I think I wish we had more time because I really appreciate what you brought to the table.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we definitely want to have Pastor back on in a future show. Our guest has been Pastor Rodney Williams of the Swope Parkway United Christian Church. And Khadija has done a wonderful job. And I'm Keith Washburn saying good night. And keep it tuned to KKFI, your community radio station.
Please join us for a private screening of the Tom Waits concert film Big Time on Friday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. at Knucklehead Saloon. This is the first and only time this rare film will be shown in Kansas City, Tickets are available online at knuckleheadshonkytonk.com. This is a benefit for KKFI.
On the next Bioneers.
Y hoy se ha mencionado y se sigue mencionando y se replica por todas partes.
Today we hear very much about the movement for sustainable food. And it's a tremendous vision that can and will work.
Pero, ¿dónde están derechos humanos para los trabajadores que producen?
But where are the human rights of the farm workers that harvest these products and also the small farmers that are also suffering these conditions?
Friday morning at 9:30 a.m.
What do you need at 4 a.m. every Saturday morning? How about an Indian raga? Let's welcome in the dawn together on the India Hour, 4 to 5 every Saturday morning on KKFI.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd inviting you to tune in this Saturday, July 4th, to Woman's Song from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be filling in for Linda Wilson. We'll hear songs from Maria the Mexican, Eva Cassidy, Samantha Crane, Alyssa Graham, Kathleen Edwards, and so many more. And joining me as my special guest is singer-songwriter Heather Thornton, and she'll perform live in the studio. So be sure to tune in this Saturday, July 4th, at 11 o'clock to 1 p.m. for Woman's Song.
They say that history is written by those who are victorious, and I can't help but think, who's going to write the story of the 2014 Scottish independence referendum?
There's a river.
The referendum may have died, but the movement lives on. On Wings, Saturday at 2:30 p.m.
Supporting 90.1 FM, prizes, performances, productions, and more. The largest Latino event of the summer is coming to the Kansas City Convention Center. The National Council of La Raza's National Latino Family Expo will provide interactive demonstrations, entertainment, and will provide health screenings for the whole family. This happens from July 11th to the 13th at the Kansas City Convention Center. For all information, 913-353-6257 or at nclr.org/events.
Good evening, and welcome to Shots in the Night radio theater program, coming to you from the studios of KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, for your listening pleasure, we present our semi-annual joke show featuring the talents of Ron Dennis, Roseanne Devine, Mary Girl, Mark Nagy, Mary Wilkins, Martin Tomlinson, Ralph Tomlinson, and yours truly, Sally Downing. With a special shout-out tonight to the Shepherd Center Adventures in Learning members for supplying many of tonight's jokes and jabs. And now, without further ado, the Shots in the Night semi-annual joke show.
What kind of instrument does a mathematician play?
I don't know.
Cymbals.
Why was the duck upset with the waiter?
I don't know. Why was the duck upset with the waiter?
The waiter put someone else's food on his bill.
What's the difference between an oral thermometer and an anal thermometer?
I don't know.
The taste.
What?
A lady walks into the bar and says, "Give me a double entendre." So the bartender gave it to her.
Say what?
A priest, a rabbi, and a penguin walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "What is this? Some kind of joke?"
Lady walks into a bar and says, "Give me a double entendre." So the bartender gave it to her.
I still don't get it.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom?
I don't know.
Because the P is silent.
So two dyslexics walk into a bra.
Three-legged dog walks into a bar and says, "I'm looking for the man that shot my paw."
Oh, my God.
Have you heard about the constipated mathematician?
No, what happened?
Well, he had to work it out with a pencil.
Really?
He used a number two, of course. And now for a thinking person's joke.
Three logicians walk into a bar. The bartender asks, "Would all three of you like a drink?" The first logician says, "I don't know." The second logician says, "I don't know." The third logician says yes.
Was that supposed to be funny?
It was.
A message for seniors 50 years or old. Despite what you may have seen on the streets,
The following combinations do not repeat, do not go together, and should be avoided.
A nose ring and bifocals.
Ha 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 ha.
Spiked hair and bald spots.
A pierced tongue and dentures.
Mini skirts and support hose.
Ankle bracelets and corn pads.
I just don't get it.
Speedos and cellulite.
Oh. That's dang.
A belly button ring and gallbladder surgery scar.
I don't believe it.
Unbuttoned disco shirts and a heart monitor.
Midriff shirts and a midriff bulge.
Huh? Pierced nipples that hang below the waist.
Bikinis and liver spots.
Short shorts and varicose veins.
Inline skates and a walker.
And the ultimate bad taste in fashion.
Yes, the ultimate bad taste in fashion.
A thong and depends. Please keep these basic guidelines foremost in your mind when you shop.
Have a nice day. Police arrested two kids yesterday. One was drinking battery acid, the other was eating fireworks. They charged one and let the other one off.
A three-legged dog walks into a saloon in the Old West. He slides up to the bar and announces, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw."
A group of chess enthusiasts checked into a hotel and were standing in the lobby discussing their recent tournament victories.
Really?
After about an hour, the manager came out of the office and asked them to disperse. "But why?" they asked as they moved off. "Because," he said, "I can't stand chestnuts boasting in an open foyer."
Oh. A woman is driving around the backwoods, and she sees a sign in front of a broken-down shanty-style house, "Talking Dog for Sale." She rings the bell, and the owner appears and tells her the dog's in the backyard. The lady goes into the backyard and sees a nice-looking Labrador retriever sitting there.
"You talk?" "Rip." What was that again?
"Yip!"
"You do? How did that happen? What's your story?"
"Well, I discovered that I could talk when I was pretty young. I wanted to help the government, so I told the CIA. In no time at all, they had me jetting from country to country, sitting in rooms with spies and world leaders, because no one figured a dog would be eavesdropping."
"Wow, that's amazing!
I was one of their most valuable spies for 8 years running. But the jetting around really tired me out, and I knew I wasn't getting any younger, so I decided to settle down. I signed up for a job at the airport to do some undercover security, wandering near suspicious characters and listening in. I uncovered some incredible dealings and was awarded a batch of medals. I got married, I had a mess of puppies, and now I'm just retired."
"That's unbelievable. I have to have you. I'm going to buy you right now. I want the dog. How much? How much for the dog?"
$10.
$10? Why so cheap?"
"Because the dog's a damn liar. She never did any of that crap."
An elderly gentleman was invited to his old friend's home for dinner one evening. He was impressed by the way his buddy preceded every request to his wife with endearing terms.
"Honey, darling, my love, sweetheart, pumpkin."
And so on. The couple had been married for over 60 years, and it was evident that they were still very much in love. While the wife was in the kitchen, the man leaned over and said to his host,
"I think it's wonderful that, after all these years, you still call your wife those loving names."
The host hung his head and revealed,
"I have to tell the truth. I forgot her name about 10 years ago."
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Is that it?
An elderly couple was lying in bed one night, and just as the husband was falling asleep, the wife was overcome with a romantic mood. She said,
"You used to hold my hand when we were courting."
Wearily, the husband reached across and held his wife's hand, and then slowly began to drift back to sleep. A few moments later, the wife said,
"Then you used to kiss me."
Slightly irritated, he reached over and gave her a peck on the cheek, and again, he began to drift off to sleep. Several seconds later, the wife said,
"Then you used to bite my neck."
Angrily, the husband threw back the covers and got out of bed.
"What's the matter? Where are you going?"
asked the wife. He looked back at her and said,
"To get my teeth."
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
A pastor was walking down the hallway of a local nursing home when he saw a woman sitting in a wheelchair. Thinking to himself that he knew her and should say hello, he knelt down in front of her and said,
"Hello, sweetheart. You know who I am."
"Aw, no, Sonny, I don't. But if you go to the front desk, they'll be glad to tell you."
Herman was very proud of the fact that he had figured out how to hook his cell phone up to his car so he could answer it hands-free. He promised everyone he would only use it in emergencies. Gladys, his wife, agreed that she would only call him in an emergency. One afternoon, as Herman was driving down I-70, his phone rang. It was his wife.
"Herman, this is an emergency. I just heard on the news there's a car going the wrong way on I-70. Please, be careful."
"Hell, I'm on I-70. It's not just one car. It's hundreds of them."
In a little village, a priest, a pastor, and a rabbi were good friends. One evening, after they three had just finished a dinner together at a local restaurant, they decided to challenge each other. A wooded area was just on the outskirts of the town. They decided each would go into the woods and try to convert a bear. A week later, they met to share their stories. The priest showed up with his right arm in a sling and began to tell his story.
"I found a bear, and he bit my arm, so I sprinkled him with holy water, then read to him from the catechism. And next week, he takes his first communion."
The pastor hobbled in and told his story.
"I read from the Bible to my bear, and he wrestled me all the way through the creek where we both fell in. So I baptized him, and we spent the whole day praising and singing to the Lord."
The poor rabbi was covered with scratches and bandages from head to foot, and he could hardly move. The priest and pastor were shocked and asked him what happened. Finally, after leaning on his crutches, he told them,
"Oy vey. Looking back, circumcision may not have been the best way to start."
Sadie Weinstein's grandson, David, and his new wife were coming to visit her for the first time at her new apartment. They needed directions, so Sadie told her grandson,
"David, sweetheart, I'm at 980 West Broadway. Come to the front door. I'm apartment 450. At the front door, you'll see a big panel of buttons. With your elbow, push button 32 to call me. I will buzz you in. Come inside. The elevator is on the right. Get in, and with your elbow, hit 4 for the fourth floor. When you get out, I am on the left. With your elbow, hit the doorbell."
David, her grandson, said,
"Grandma, why am I hitting all the buttons with my elbow?"
After a pause, Sadie replied,
"What? You're coming empty-handed?"
A rabbi and a priest were old friends, and every New Year's they went to a luncheon. They loved to banter with one another.
"Rabbi Jacobs, this baked ham is really delicious. You really ought to try it. I mean, I know it's against your religion, but I can't understand why such a wonderful food packed with muscle-building protein should be forbidden. You don't know what you're missing. Tell me, Rabbi, when are you going to break down and try it?"
"Yeah, at your wedding."
Tony and Angela had been married for nearly 40 years. They were still very much in love when just weeks before their anniversary, Angela dropped dead. But having been a good and devout person, she arrived before the pearly gates, and there was St. Peter to greet her.
"Do I get to come in?"
"All you have to do is spell the word cow.
C-O-W. Yay!"
"That's right. Come on in, and welcome."
And he wrote her name in the Book of Heavenly Soul. So into heaven Angela went. She was as happy as could be, and the place was everything she was told to expect. Several years passed, and St. Peter came up to Angela to ask her a favor.
"Angela, would you take my place today at the pearly gates? I have to run an errand for God, and you're a good and trustworthy person. I feel I can count on you. You know the routine. Just ask them to spell a word like dog or cat, then let them in and record it in the Book of Heavenly Souls."
"Why, I would be honored."
The next day, Angela took her station at the pearly gates, and one by one, she asked the entrants to spell dog, or cat, or door, or book, and so on. But off in the distance, she saw a figure she recognized walking toward her. It was Tony.
"Tony, how have you been? Did you miss me a lot?"
What's your life been like? I hope you weren't too depressed. Not too depressed.
Oh, Angela, honey. I thought I would never be the same.
Aww.
Then things took a turn for the better.
Oh, good.
With your life insurance money, I was able to pay off the house.
Wonderful, Tony.
You know my secretary, Sarah Jane Albright?
Yeah, I remember
well,
her.
Well, I married her, even though people thought she was a little too young for me. Again, with the money, I was able to retire and trade in our old car for a shiny red BMW.
Oh, good, Tony.
Oh, and Sarah picked it out. Oh, and you'll never believe this, but Sarah was the same size as you. So I didn't have to give away any of your fancy dresses.
My dresses?
Nor the jewelry. Everything fit her.
Oh.
And we saved up enough money. So I finally got that old kitchen remodeled, just like you'd wanted.
Just like I wanted.
Yeah, and the new carpeting for the entire house.
Oh, good, Tony.
And since I was retired and with that money, we could spend winters in Florida and not worry about the cold and all those high gas bills we used to have to worry about.
Right.
Well, that's about it. So, what do I have to do to get in?
Oh, Tony, it's simple. Just spell Constantinople.
A lawyer boarded an airplane in New Orleans with a box of frozen crabs and asked a blonde flight attendant to take care of them for him. She took the box and promised to put it in the crew's refrigerator. He advised her that he was holding her personally responsible for them staying frozen, mentioning in an arrogant manner that he was a lawyer and threatened what would happen to her if she let them thaw out. Shortly before landing in New York, she used the intercom to announce to the entire cabin,
"Would the lawyer who gave me the crabs in New Orleans please raise your hand?"
Not one hand went up. So she took them home and ate them. There are two lessons here.
One, lawyers aren't as smart as they think they are. Two, blondes aren't as dumb as most folks think.
Far away in the tropical waters of the Caribbean, two prawns were swimming around in the sea. One was named Justin, the other Christian. The prawns were constantly being harassed and threatened by sharks that inhabited the area. Finally, one day Justin said to Christian,
"I'm fed up with being a prawn. I wish I was a shark. Then I wouldn't have to worry about being eaten."
A large, mysterious cod appeared and said,
"Your wish is granted."
Lo and behold, Justin turned into a shark. Horrified, Christian immediately swam away, afraid of being eaten by his old mate. Time passed, and Justin found life as a shark boring and lonely. All his old mates simply swam away whenever he came close to them. Justin didn't realize that his new menacing appearance was the cause of his sad plight. While swimming alone one day, he saw the mysterious cod again, and he thought perhaps the mysterious fish could change him back into a prawn. He approached the cod and begged to be changed back, and lo and behold, he found himself turned back into a prawn. With tears of joy in his tiny little eyes, Justin swam back to his friends and bought them all a cocktail. Looking around at the gathering at the reef, he realized he couldn't see his old pal.
"Where's Christian?"
"He's at home, still distraught that his best friend changed sides to the enemy and became a shark."
Eager to put things right again and end the mutual pain and torture, he set off to Christian's abode. As he opened the coral gate, memories came flooding back. He banged on the door and shouted,
"It's me, Justin, your old friend. Come out and see me again."
"No way, man. You'll eat me. You're now a shark, the enemy, and I'll not be tricked into being your dinner."
"No, I'm not. That was the old me. I've changed. I've found cod. I'm a prawn again, Christian."
Oh. A husband and wife are shopping in their local Walmart. The husband picks up a case of Miller Lite and puts it in their cart.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"They're on sale. Only $10 for 24 cans.
"Put them back. It's a waste of money."
And so he does. A few aisles further along, the woman picks up a $20 jar of face cream.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"It's my face cream. It makes me look beautiful."
"So does a case of Miller Lite, and it's half the price."
Husband down, aisle 7.
Two fish are in a tank. One turns to the other and asks, "How do you drive this thing?"
Last night, I almost had a threesome. I only needed two more people.
Oh, Lord.
Just went to an emotional wedding. Even the cake was in tears.
What kind of shoes do ninjas wear? Sneakers.
Did you hear about the new corduroy pillows?
No.
They're making headlines everywhere.
What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
I don't know.
A stick.
Oh, Lord.
Love may be blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener.
Why does Snoop Dogg carry an umbrella? Fuddle drizzle.
Fish should never be cooked in butter. They should be cooked in their natural oils. Texaco, Mobil, and Exxon.
If you drink, don't drive. Don't even touch.
When I told the doctor I broke my leg in two places, he told me to stop going to those places.
When I was a kid, all I knew was rejection. Even my yo-yo didn't come back.
Women will never be equal to men until they can walk down the street with a bald head and a beer gut and still think they are sexy.
War does not determine who is right, only who's left.
Change is inevitable, except from a vending machine.
He was such a playboy that when he died, they donated his zipper to the Smithsonian.
If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you.
You don't need a parachute to skydive. You only need a parachute to skydive twice.
If you're going to do something tonight that you'll be sorry for tomorrow morning, sleep with it.
Why did the scientist install a knocker on his door?
I don't know. Why?
He wanted to win a Nobel Prize.
When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane.
When God sneezes, what do you say?
Ha 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 ha.
How do you get a sweet little old lady to say the F word?
I don't know.
Get another sweet little old lady to yell, bingo.
A man reported to the police his car was stolen. The officer asked if he knew who did it. He replied, no, but I got the license number.
After his performance, he got a standing ovation. The whole audience stood up and walked out.
Really?
A clear conscience is the sign of a fuzzy memory.
To steal ideas from one person is plagiarism. To steal from many is research.
Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in the garage makes you a car.
Whenever I fill out an application, in the part that says, in case of emergency notify, I write, doctor.
Where there's a will, there's relatives.
People will buy anything that's won to a customer.
Light travels faster than sound. That is why some people appear bright until you hear them speak.
And now for some famous quotes.
I am a deeply superficial person, Andy Warhol.
I distinctly remember forgetting that, Clara Barton.
You'd be surprised how much it costs to look this cheap, Dolly Parton.
Of course I can keep secrets. It's the people I tell them to that can't keep them. Anthony Hayden Guest.
Always be sincere, even when you don't mean it. Irene Peter.
It usually takes more than 3 weeks to prepare a good impromptu speech. Mark Twain.
Why don't you pair them up in threes? Yogi Berra.
We must believe in free will. We have no choice. Isaac B. Singer.
Did you ever walk into a room and forget why you walked in? I think that's how dogs spend their lives. Sue Murphy.
You have to stay in shape. My grandmother, she started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 today, and we don't know where the hell she is. Ellen DeGeneres.
I have never killed anyone. But I have read some obituary notices with great satisfaction. Clarence Darrow.
The nicest thing about being a celebrity is that if you bore people, they think it's their fault. Henry Kissinger.
Between two evils, I always pick the one I've never tried before. Mae West.
I have a terrible memory. I never forget a thing. Edith Konecki.
I hate people, but I love gatherings. Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Live within your income, even if you have to borrow to do so. Josh Billings.
I can resist everything but temptation. Mark Twain.
I can believe anything, provided that it is quite incredible. Oscar Wilde.
The best cure for insomnia is to get a lot of sleep. W.C. Fields.
I never said most of the things I said. Yogi Berra.
When I die, I want to go peacefully, like my grandfather did. He just fell asleep. Not yelling and screaming like the passengers in his car. Bob Monkhouse.
I asked God for a bike, but I know God doesn't work that way. So I stole a bike and asked for forgiveness. Emo Phillips.
I went to a restaurant that serves breakfast at any time, so I ordered French toast during the Renaissance. Stephen Wright.
Always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, they won't come to yours. Yogi Berra.
Only two things are infinite. The universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the former. Albert Einstein.
If you can count your money, you don't have $1 billion. J. Paul Getty.
Wherever I go, people are waving at me. Maybe if I do a good job, they'll use all their fingers. Rodney Dangerfield.
There is more stupidity than hydrogen in the universe, and it has a longer shelf life. Frank Zappa.
Don't stay in bed, unless you can make money in bed. George Burns. My advice to you is to get married. If you find a good wife, you'll be happy. If not, you'll become a philosopher. Socrates.
The secret to life is honesty and fair dealing. If you can fake that, you've got it made. Groucho Marx.
Well, that's our show, folks. This has been another episode of Shots in the Night Radio Theater. On behalf of the cast and crew, thank you for listening and for supporting Community Radio KKFI 90.1 FM. This is Sally Downing wishing you good days, good nights, and good luck until we meet again next month on Thursday night, August 6th at 7:30 p.m., For more information about next month's episode and how you can participate, please find us on the web at shotsinthenight.org or like us on Facebook. Remember, Shots in the Night, your locally produced community radio theater program.
Please join us for a private screening of the Tom Waits concert film Big Time on Friday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. at Knucklehead Saloon. This is the first and only time this rare film will be shown in Kansas City. Tickets are available online at knuckleheadshonkytonk.com. This is a benefit for KKFI.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd inviting you to tune in this Saturday, July 4th to Woman's Song from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be filling in for Linda Wilson. We'll hear songs from Maria the Mexican, Eva Cassidy, Samantha Crane, Alyssa Graham, Kathleen Edwards, and so many more. And joining me as my special guest is singer-songwriter Heather Thornton, and she'll perform live in the studio. So be sure to tune in this Saturday, July 4th at 11 o'clock to 1 p.m. for Woman's Song.
So, what do we have in store for this week's show, Michael?
Well, Reverend Mayor, Monday on the Arts Magazine show, we're going to talk with the Raytown Arts Council and talk about their summer production, Brigadoon. Brigadoon is a magical land that only rises out of the mist for one day every 100 years. Kind of like you'd like to hear the Arts Magazine show. Then later on, guests from the annual Summerfest Chamber Music Festival. That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine show.
After the Harvest needs volunteers to pick fresh vegetables and fruit in the Greater Casey area now. All ages are welcome. Please call 816-853-4460 or go to our Facebook page at After the Harvest KC for more information. This message, a public service of 90.1 KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And good evening, Kansas City. This is your old pal Mike Murphy behind the helm here, and this is the local showcase here on Thursday night from 8 to 10 every Thursday. We kind of